This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Red Brick Media. High quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences, and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In last week's lesson of Bulugh al-Maram, we concluded the chapter of wudu. And we took a number of ahadith that spoke about a number of issues. The first of them was the issue of the order in wudu. That it is from the pillars of wudu that a person, when they make wudu, must wash everything within a set order. That is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse of wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And it's mentioned in the hadith that we took last week, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Begin with that which Allah began with." One of the other issues that we spoke about last week was the issue of saying the basmala, or saying the tasmiyah before the wudu. Is there an obligation, is there a condition that a person, before they make wudu, they invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say bismillah, or they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? And we mention the difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning that, and that the correct opinion is that it is a highly recommended sunnah. The third issue that we took was the description of how to wash your nose and your mouth, or your mouth and your nose, when it comes to wudu. And we mentioned that there were two conflicting reports. One of them was weak, and that was the report in which it is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would wash them separately. He would wash his mouth, and then he would take separate water for his nose. But we said what is more authentic and what is more established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would use one cup or handful of water for both the mouth and the nose, and he would split between the two. One of the other issues we took as well was one of the other pillars of wudu, and that is something which is known as muwala, that you ensure that nothing dries before you wash the next limb, that the previous limb hasn't dried before you wash the next limb. And that is mentioned in a number of ahadith. From them was the hadith that we took of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordering that man who didn't wash his feet properly to go back and to repeat his wudu. And then the two final ahadith we took, one was concerning how much water the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use in his wudu. And the last issue was concerning the dua that we make at the end of our wudu. So in today's lesson, inshaAllah, we will go on to the next chapter, as the author, rahimahullah, says, Ibn Hajar, Babul Mashi ala al-Khuffain, the chapter of wiping over the socks. This chapter is one of the most important chapters in the whole of the book of purification, in Kitab al-Tahara. And the logical, if you like, connection between this chapter and the chapter previously, the chapter of wudu, is that now that we know how to make wudu according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the next thing that the author will now speak about is one of the concessions that is provided in the sharia. So we know that throughout the sharia there are certain concessions. So if a person, for example, is sick, they don't have to pray standing up. If the person is traveling, they can shorten and combine the prayer, and so on and so forth. There are many concessions within the sharia. And there are concessions also in the book of purification, in Tahara. And the major concession that we will speak about later on, it's one of the chapters that will come later on, is tayammum. And that is, if a person is unable to find water, what does he do? He makes tayammum. And we'll discuss that later on, inshallah, in the appropriate place and at the appropriate time. But one of the other concessions that we have in wudu isn't concerning wudu itself. So tayammum is about wudu as an entity, as a whole act of worship. You can't perform wudu, you move on to tayammum. But there is another concession concerning wudu, which doesn't relate to wudu as a whole, but it relates to one of the pillars of wudu. As we mentioned, there are six pillars of wudu. Number one, that you wash the face. Number two, that you wash the forearms. Number three, that you wipe over your head. Number four, that you wash the feet. Number five, that it's done in order. And number six, muwala, that you ensure that the limbs do not dry before you move on to the next limb. These are the six pillars of wudu. One of those pillars has a concession that is mentioned within the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the concession that is dealt with within this chapter. And so the scholars of Islam, when they would mention the chapter of wudu, they would mention this chapter next because it deals with a concession for one of those limbs. Whereas later on the tayammum chapter will come, and that is a wider chapter in the sense that it deals with all of wudu and not just a single aspect. But this chapter, Babul Mas'h al-Khuffayn, the chapter of wiping over the socks, is to do with washing the feet. It is a concession for washing the feet. So if a person washes their feet, and then in that state of tahara, they put on some socks, then now it is a concession in the sharia that you don't have to wash your feet so long as you wear those socks. You can wipe over the socks instead. And this is a concession. Why is it a concession? Because in the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah Azza wa Jal describes wudu, He doesn't mention this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Wash your faces, wash your forearms, wipe over your heads, and wash your feet until the ankles. So this is the basic ruling in Islam. The Sharia came with washing the feet. That is that you wash the feet until the ankles every time you make wudu. But then in the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a rukhsa, concession. And this is a concession, and it is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed for us to make lives easier for us, to make these acts of worship easier for us. And this is what concessions deal with, to make things easy, to facilitate ease for the ummah and for the Muslims. And so Allah Azza wa Jal then gave us this rukhsa, this concession, as is mentioned in the ahadith that we would take and in other ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this chapter deals with a concession pertaining to one of the pillars of wudu, and that is washing the feet. This issue of washing the feet, the scholars call it al-mas'h al-khuffayn, wiping over the socks. Mas'h in the Arabic language means to wipe your hand over something. So when you wipe over something, when you touch something, this is mas'h, to wipe over something. But technically in the sharia, it means to wipe a wet hand over something. So obviously when we're speaking about it, we're not just speaking about wiping in its general sense, we're speaking about it in the context of wudu. The khuf in the Arabic language, this word khuffayn, is the dual for the word khuf. And the khuf in the Arabic language refers to something which covers your foot up until or above the ankle. So anything which covers your foot and is below the ankle isn't technically in the sharia considered to be a sock, nor is it considered to be a khuf. And this is a mistake that some people make, that they wear these kind of socks that you have now that are cut beneath the ankle, and then they wipe over them. This is incorrect. It is not a technical khuf according to the sharia. The khuf is that which covers the foot, all of the foot, and it covers the ankle as well. And it may go above the ankle too, but it must cover at least this much, the foot and the ankle. And it is something which is made normally out of leather. And this was obviously during the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something which was normally made out of leather. And some of the scholars of Islam allowed, based upon this, other types of socks as well. Socks made of polyester, cotton wool, and so on and so forth, the socks that we wear today. And this is also based on a number of narrations that are also mentioned from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will speak about inshallah within this lesson. So this is what it means to wipe over the socks. It is a unique chapter. This chapter is a unique chapter. It is unique in a number of ways. Number one, in the sense that this is established, this wiping over the socks, even though it is a concession, it is something which is mutawatir. It is something which has been related to the extent that it is mutawatir. In the science of hadith, when we have the narrations from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are categorized in a number of ways. One of the ways that they are categorized is the amount of people that narrated this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many people narrated this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So you have certain ahadith that only one person narrated them. Only one person narrated this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Other hadith, you will have two people, or three people, or four people. But then you get to a level which is known as tawatur. And tawatur basically means that so many people have narrated this hadith, that even if they wanted to come together and lie, it would be impossible for them to do so, because there are just so many. So for example, if a person came in the Jum'ah khutbah, and there's approximately 2,000-3,000 people in the masjid, and he mentioned something, and then those 3,000 people were to go and to narrate that, it would be impossible for them to collude and to conspire to lie. Why? Because there's simply so many people. Once they leave the door, no one person knows exactly every single person that was present. No one has that record to go to every single person to ensure that this is something which they can conspire upon. So likewise in hadith, you have this level of tawatur. Once it reaches a certain stage, there are so many companions that are narrating this hadith, it is impossible for them to even conspire, even if they wanted to. And obviously the companions are all trustworthy. So even if one narrates it, it is sufficient. But this is the strongest type of hadith that a person can get. And that is a hadith which is known as mutawatir. It is narrated by so many companions. These ahadith concerning wiping over the socks is not only established in the Sharia, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is established from over 70 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so in this sense it is unique that on one issue, over 70 companions relate the same narration, or they relate the same ruling and hukum of the Sharia. Normally when you have many ahadith, you won't get so many companions discussing a single issue. You won't have so many companions. Even the most famous ahadith, famous hadith on wudu and salah and so on, it won't reach up to the number of 70. You'll have 5, you'll have 10, maybe 15. You won't have so many. So it is unique in this sense. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, said, I heard the narration of wiping over the socks from over 70 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said that I completely agree with wiping over the socks. This narration is narrated in over 40 different hadith. So the point is that so many companions narrated, whether there's 40, 70 or a number in between, so many of the companions narrated this authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam, one of the scholars of hadith, he said that there is no difference of opinion amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam over this issue, meaning that it is allowed, it is established, it is legislated, it is a part of our religion that it is allowed for you to wipe over your socks in wudu. And al-Imam ibn al-Mundhir, who was one of the famous scholars of Islam, he said that there was ijma', consensus of the Muslim scholars on this issue, that it is allowed for a person to do so. It is allowed whether they're traveling or whether they're resident. It is allowed whether it is for men or for women. And he called this an issue of ijma'. So it is something which is unanimously agreed upon by the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is something which is narrated by countless companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are many, many scholars who speak about this issue. One of the other unique aspects of this chapter of Bab al-Mas'h al-Khuffain is that it is one of the fewest, one of the very rare issues that is mentioned in some of the books of Aqidah, some of the books of creed and belief and theology. At the very beginning of this series, if you cast your minds back, for those of you that were here, we spoke about the differentiation between Aqidah and Fiqh. And how the five pillars of Islam, four of them relate to Fiqh, one of them relates to Aqidah. So the two Shahadas, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is Aqidah, it is theology, it is our belief, our creed, what we believe in. It has a different chapter, it is a different science in Islam. And then you have the four remaining pillars, Salah, Zakah, Siyam and Hajj. And these four pillars relate to Fiqh, the science of Islamic law and jurisprudence. And so from these four, any issue that we speak about and the issues that we've spoken about so far, prayer, wudu, tayammum, ghusl, all of these issues, they're all issues of Fiqh. And normally the scholars of Fiqh are the ones to discuss it in their books. Whereas the scholars of Aqidah won't discuss these issues. They won't speak about how to pray. They won't speak about how to make wudu. They won't speak about tayammum. But rather they will speak about belief in Allah, and belief in the angels of Allah, and the books of Allah, and believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Yawmul Qiyamah, and the different types of tawheed and categories, and so on and so forth. And so it is unique in the sense that this is one of the few issues that has traveled from the books of fiqh and ended up in the books of aqidah. And that's why if you go to books like Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, the famous book of Imam al-Tahawi and the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, he mentions this issue within it. And Ibn Abil Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah, the person who explained this book, he goes at some length to explaining this issue as well. And there are other books of Aqidah that also touch upon or speak about this issue of wiping over the socks. So for example, Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he says within his book of Aqidah, and we believe, meaning Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe that it is from the Sharia that a person is allowed to wipe over their socks, either in traveling or in residence. And so he mentions it as an issue of Aqidah, not an issue of fiqh. Why is it mentioned in the books of Aqidah? It is mentioned because it is something which the Rafidis, the Shia, disagreed with. This issue of wiping over the socks. Amongst the Rafidi Shia, it is not allowed for a person to wipe over their socks. In fact, they don't even wash their feet, they wipe over their bare feet. This is how they make wudu. They wipe over their bare feet. They don't consider it allowed to wash over the feet, nor do they consider it allowed to wipe over a sock. They wipe over the bare feet. And so the scholars of Aqidah, to show not that it is an issue of fiqh, but that they have disagreed with the principle of Aqidah. And that principle of Aqidah is that all of our knowledge comes from Allah and comes from His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not according to our own interpretation, as we'll also mention in one of the narrations that Ibn Hajar rahimahullah brings within this chapter. It's not according to our own intellect or our own interpretation. It is according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And so because it was such a contentious issue amongst them, and they made it into an issue that they rejected not only this practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the mutawatir narration, the 70 different companions who narrate this issue, they rejected it all. And then they misinterpreted it to be wiping over the barefoot. And so for that reason, the scholars of Aqidah have mentioned it within the books of Aqidah as well. So it is something which is important. It is something which is probably one of the most important chapters of fiqh to understand and to know. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he begins with hadith number 53. عن المغيرة ibn شعبة رضي الله عنه قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتوضأ فأهويت لأنزع خفيه فقال دعهما فإني أدخلتهما طاهرتين فمسح عليهما متفق عليه وللأربعة عنه إلا النسائي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسح أعلى الخف وأسفله وفي إسناده ضعف. And the authority of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, who said that I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he wanted to make wudu. So I went down, meaning I bowed down, to take off his khuf, his leather socks. So he said to me, leave them, for indeed I put them on in a state of purity. And then he wiped over them sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is collected in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Imam al-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, they have a different narration in that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then wiped over the top and the bottom of his sock. And Ibn Hajar says that in this chain of narration there is weakness. This hadith is one of the most famous ahadith in this chapter, the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu warda. And it is, or the essence of it is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The second part of this hadith, which is mentioned in the three books of the Sunnah, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, this addition that is mentioned there is a weak addition. It is weak because one of the narrators is a weak narrator. And so it is a weak narration, and we will speak about this issue of wiping over the top of the sock or the bottom of the sock, inshallah, in the next hadith. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam shows a number of things. Number one, that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were eager to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making wudu, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah bends down, he bows down to go and take off the socks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And look at the love, the respect, the way they revered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would humble himself to that extent to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would remove his socks for him. And so he went down to do this, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, leave them. So this is an order, leave them. Number two, then he said to him, for indeed I wore them in a state of purification, meaning that I was in a state of wudu when I put on these socks. And so this shows that number one, not only is it established to wipe over the socks, so according to some scholars, it is better to do so in the state in which you are wearing socks. So if you have made wudu, you're in a state of purification, you put on your socks, because either you're going to put on your shoes or you're leaving your house, and then you find that you have to make wudu again. You broke your wudu, so you go to make wudu again. It is better in this state to make wiping over the socks, to wipe over your socks, rather than to take off the socks and to wash your feet. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what happened to him. He was in a state of purification, he put on his socks, but now he had to make wudu again. And so when Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah went to take off his socks, he could have allowed him to do so, and then washed his feet. But he said to him, leave them, for indeed I put them on in a state of purification. Showing that in this condition, it is better to wipe over the socks. And this is an issue amongst the scholars of Islam, that they differed over what is better. Is it better to wash the feet or wipe over the socks? And the strongest of the opinions, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, is that it depends on your condition. If it so happens that you're not wearing socks and you break your wudu, then it is obviously better for you to wash your feet. But if you happen to be out and about or you're wearing socks and you break your wudu, then it is better for you to wipe over your socks. And that way he combined between all of the texts of the Sharia. Not just choosing one opinion over the other, but he combined between the two opinions. So whatever situation you're upon, whatever is easiest for you, that's what you do. So if it's washing your feet, you wash your feet. If it's wiping over your socks, you wipe over your socks. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith that Allah azza wa jalla loves that his concessions are taken. So this is a concession that Allah has provided to make things easier for us. So now it goes against that concession that you take your socks off, you wash your feet only to put your socks on again. And so therefore, it is better and it is in accordance to the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we wipe over the feet. So obviously it is understood then the opposite of this. That if you're wearing your socks whilst not in a state of wudu, you didn't make wudu but you just put on your socks, then it is obligatory upon you to remove them and to wash your feet. And this, by ijma', by consensus of the scholars, if you're not in a state of wudu, you put on your socks, your wudu is invalid unless you wash your feet. So you must wash your feet. So that is the asl, that is the original ruling. The rukhsa, the concession, only comes into play once you put on your socks in a state of purity. As we mentioned, the second edition, the edition that is mentioned in some of the books of the Sunan, is a weak narration. And that is that what is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you wipe over the top of the sock and not the bottom. So this narration is weak where you wipe over the two, and inshallah we will mention this in the next hadith. Also, the sock has to cover all of the foot. As we mentioned, that's the technical definition of a khuf or a sock. You must cover the foot and the ankle at the bare minimum. This is what it must do. Now that doesn't mean that it can't have holes in it. So if, for example, a sock has a hole in it, this is something which the scholars of fiqh also disagreed upon. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that it is inconceivable that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore socks that didn't have holes in it, because they were so poor and they lived in such abject poverty that even if they could afford this, they would probably be walking in their socks. So if they had hoofs, they wouldn't probably have sandals or shoes. They would probably be walking and traveling within their socks. And so therefore, with wear and tear, just as you wear normal socks now, and after a few months, even these socks with shoes and padded shoes will still get holes in them, or they'll be worn and torn. Likewise, those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with their socks, they would have the same issue. So therefore, there is a difference between the two. The technical definition of a sock is that it must cover the foot and the ankle. But that doesn't detract from holes within the socks. If it so happens that there is a hole, then that doesn't take away from it being a khuf. It is still allowed for you to wipe over it, so long as it still is and resembles a sock. So if half of the sock is ripped, then it's not even a sock anymore, right? But if there's a hole underneath it, or a hole on top, or maybe even two or three holes, then it is still, and it is still a sock. You can wear it as a sock and it looks like a sock, then it has the ruling of the sock as well. One of the other benefits of this hadith is how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would help one another make wudu. Now this isn't something which we normally need now because of taps and so on, but if you're traveling and you have companions with you, and you have water bottles, and that's the only way you make wudu, it is from etiquette, it is from helping one another in birr and taqwa, in piety and righteousness, that you help one another make wudu, meaning that you pour water for one another and so on. It is from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith number 54, وَعَنْ عَلِيٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالرَّأْيِ لَكَانَ أَسْفَلُ الْخُفِّ أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ مِنْ أَعْلَاهُ وقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح على ظاهر خفيه أخرجه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. And the authority of Ali رضي الله عنه, who said that if the religion was based upon our intellect, then it would have made more sense to wipe under the bottom of the sock rather than the top. But I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wiping only over the top of his socks. And this is collected by Abu Dawood with an authentic chain of narration. The statement is a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. And look at how Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions the hadith of Al-Mughira, which is like a basis or like a foundation of this chapter. And then he mentions that additional narration, which he classifies as weak. And then to ensure that, and to show that it is weak, and to show what is a stronger opinion, he brings this authentic narration of Ali radiallahu anhu, which begins with his own statement, but then ends with what he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing, and therefore it is a hadith. The end part is a hadith, because when a companion says that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something, it is a hadith. But the beginning part is a statement that he makes, and it shows, as we mentioned at the beginning, why the scholars of Islam mention this chapter within the book of Aqidah. And that is because this religion isn't just based upon intellect, it is based foremost upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now that doesn't mean that a person doesn't reflect, they don't ponder, they don't contemplate, doesn't mean that they don't use their brain, they don't use their mind, but rather Allah azza wa jal orders this within the Quran. When a person travels, that they should ponder and contemplate. When we see the signs of Allah, we should ponder and contemplate. But there is a difference between taking as your primary sources the Quran and the sunnah, and taking as your primary source the intellect, your own mind, your own rationale. You can only do one or the other. And so we use our mind to understand our religion. But it goes back and it's within the context of the Quran and the Sunnah, and not the other way around. We don't use our mind first and then try to adapt the Quran and the Sunnah to fit in with the way that we're thinking and our mindset. And so this is what Ali radiallahu anhu is establishing here. That if you were to use our mind, if you were to go to any normal rational person and you would say to them, if you were to clean your sock, which part of the sock would be dirtiest? Everyone would say the bottom of the sock will be dirtier than the top of the sock. And so that's why Ali radiallahu anhu is saying that if you were to just use your mind, your intellect, then that's what you would normally wipe. If someone was to say to you, wipe a part of your sock, you would probably most likely wipe the bottom and not the top. And then he mentions, he doesn't even say that this religion isn't based upon intellect. But look at the etiquette that he shows. That in order to show that this intellect is incorrect, that this rationale is false, he goes back to what the Prophet ﷺ did. And that is that we submit to everything that we hear, we accept wholeheartedly everything which is conveyed to us about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But rather I saw him sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiping only the top of the socks. And so the religion isn't based upon intellect. But if you were to use your intellect and to wipe over the bottom of the socks, then by ijma' your wudu would be nullified. It would be incorrect because you didn't wipe the correct part of your sock. Number two, you've used intellect and you've gone against the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that intentionally, it is a sin. And you have innovated in the religion if you do it knowing that it is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather we submit wholeheartedly. The third benefit from this narration is that sometimes we don't understand always the wisdom behind everything. We don't always understand the wisdom behind every ruling of the Sharia. But nor is it obligatory or a condition for us to know the wisdom behind every ruling of the Sharia. Many things within the Sharia, we know their wisdom and we can understand them and appreciate them. And Allah has given us this knowledge. But there are many other parts of the Sharia that we don't understand. And from them is this: why did Allah choose the top of the sock rather than the bottom? This is something which only Allah Azza wa Jal knows. And this is the test of faith, to believe in the unseen, to believe in those things that you don't comprehend, that you don't truly understand, but you submit to Allah and you submit to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when these narrations come to you. Also, one of the things that this hadith and the previous hadith also show is that when it comes to wiping over the sock, it is done once, as opposed to washing over the feet. So when it comes to washing generally the face and the arms and so on, everything that is washed within wudu, we do it three times. That is the sunnah, to wash things three times. But when it comes to wiping, just as when you wipe over your head, likewise wiping over the socks is only once. And that's why all of these ahadith, they don't speak about more than once. They only mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiped over his socks. And had he done it more than once, they would have said twice or three times or four times. But because he didn't do so, they left it as that statement, that he would just wipe over his socks. So it's understood that the Prophet ﷺ only wiped over it once. The next hadith, hadith number 55, wa an Safwan ibn Assal radiyallahu anhu qal, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يأمرنا إذا كنا سفرا ألا ننزع خفافنا ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن إلا من جنابة ولكن من غط وبول ونوم أخرجه النسائي والترمذي واللفظ له وابن خزيمة وصححا. And the authority of Safwan ibn Assal radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would order us whilst we were traveling that we should not remove our socks for 3 days and three nights, unless we're in a state of major impurity, in a state of janaba, but rather we should wipe over them if we go and relieve ourselves or we fall asleep. And this hadith is in al-Nasa'i, in al-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Khuzaymah, and it is authentic. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, even though he doesn't narrate the hadith himself, he said it is the most authentic hadith concerning the timing of how long you can keep your socks on for. This hadith, the hadith of Safwan ibn Assal, deals with the issue of timing. Now that you have the socks on, how long can you continue to wipe over them? And there will be other hadith that will speak about the same issue as well. This hadith specifically speaks about the traveler. And it goes to show what we mentioned shortly or a little while ago, that the companions would travel with their socks on. Some of them would just travel with nothing except these types of leather socks. This is how they would walk. Some of them would walk barefooted, some of them with socks, and some of them would be able to afford sandals. And so it goes to show that it makes sense that they would have holes, that they would be wear and tear upon these socks. So Safwan ibn Assad is saying that when we would travel with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would order us not to remove our socks for 3 days and three nights, showing that the limit that it is allowed for you to continue to wipe your socks whilst in a state of traveling is 3 days and three nights. So if a person puts on their socks, then for the next 3 days and three nights, if they're a traveler, they can continue to wipe over them so long as they don't remove them. So if they stay on for 3 days and three nights, you can wipe over them for as many times as you want within that time period, as long as you don't fall into major impurity. إِلَّا مِنْ جَنَابَ. If a person falls into a state of major impurity, they have relations with their wife and so on, then now they must remove them because they have to go and make a ghusl. They have to take a bath. But if a person, for example, relieves themselves, whether it's a number one or a number two, min ghayatin aw bawl, or they fall asleep and they break their wudu, then they can wipe over their socks for a period of 3 days and three nights, meaning for minor impurity, it is allowed for 3 days and three nights. And this hadith is a famous hadith, the hadith that we mentioned that Ibn Bukhari said concerning the traveler, it is the most authentic thing that is related within this chapter. Another issue which comes across this, or which we can bring here, is the issue of wiping over normal socks. So one of these hadith so far have spoken about wiping over leather socks, the khuf, which is made out of leather. How about wiping over normal socks? There is a narration concerning this also on the authority of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu an, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiped over his jawarib and his na'lain. He would wipe over his socks. A jawarib is a sock which is made out of wool or cotton or some other material, and over his sandals. Over his sandals. He would wipe over the two, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is an authentic hadith. And it is also mentioned that this is narrated from Ali radiallahu an, Ammar ibn Yasir, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Umar, Al-Bara ibn Azib, Bilal ibn Abi Awfa, and Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So many of the companions narrated this. And so from these ahadith, we take that even though the ahadith are speaking about the issue of wiping over leather socks, there is an authentic narration that speaks about non-leather socks as well. And it is based upon that narration, as well as the many opinions of many of the companions radiallahu anhum, that the scholars made this analogy of normal socks along with leather socks. Hadith number 56. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن للمسافر ويوما وليلة للمقيم يعني في المسح على الخفين أخرجه مسلم. This hadith in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would allow 3 days and three nights for the traveler to wipe over his socks, and 1 day and one night for the person who is a resident to wipe over their socks. So if a person is a resident, meaning that you're not a traveler, you live in Birmingham, you stay in Birmingham, you make wudu, then you put on your socks, from the time that you first wipe over them. So this is when the timing begins, not the time that you put on your socks, but the time that you first wipe over them. And you first make wudu and wipe over them. So the issue isn't about wearing socks. The issue is wiping over the socks. And don't get confused between the two. From the first time that you wipe over those socks for 1 day and one night, 24-hour period, it is allowed for you to keep on those socks and to wipe over them for as much as you like, so long as you don't fall into major impurity. This is what the hadith of Ali is saying. And for the traveler for 3 days and three nights, from the first time that they wipe over their socks for a period of 3 days and three nights, that's 72 hours, they can wipe over their socks so long as they don't fall into major impurity. And this is something, or these are the only hadith, or these are the most authentic hadith, and this is in Sahih Muslim, concerning the timing. So it's limited to 24 hours, for the person who's a resident, 72 hours, for the person who is a traveler. So within that time, you can wipe over them as much as you like. And so again, as we said, one of the mistakes that people make is that if they were to come to the masjid and they're already in a state of wudu and they have their socks on, they will come and they will wash their feet again. And this isn't what these ahadith are showing us, but rather what the Prophet ﷺ is showing us is that it is better for you to wipe over your socks at this time and in this state and condition. Hadith number 57, وعن ثوبان رضي الله عنه قال بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سرية فأمرهم أن يمسحوا على العصائب يعني العمائم والتساخين يعني الخفاف رواه أحمد وابو داود وصححه الحاكم. This hadith is the hadith of ثوبان رضي الله عنه, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent forth an army. He sent forth an army to go on an expedition. And he ordered them that they should wipe over their turbans and that they should wipe over their socks. And this is collected by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and it is authenticated by Imam Al-Hakim. This hadith is narrated by Thawban. Thawban was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a freed slave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam captured him at the time of At-Ta'if, when they went and they encircled Ta'if. And then he was one of the people who the Muslims captured. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought him and he freed him and he became a Muslim. And so when he freed him, he was someone who spent his time in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that he would refuse to be known by his second name, but rather he would prefer to be called Thawban, the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he lived and died in Hims, in a part of Syria that is today going under a lot of issues and a lot of killing. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it easy for the people there. And he died in the year 54 Hijri. This hadith is a hadith which, as we said, collected by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, authenticated by Al-Hakim. This hadith has a lot of difference of opinion over it concerning its authenticity. Is it an authentic hadith? Is it not? Some of the scholars of hadith have said it is authentic, like Sheikh bin Baz and others. Others said it is weak. There is weakness in it. And so there is a difference of opinion over this. And as you can imagine, depending upon whether you think it is authentic or weak, then the issue, the primary issue, the new issue that is mentioned within this hadith, wiping over the turban, that will also then depend upon whether you consider this hadith to be authentic or not. Those who consider it to be authentic will say that it is allowed to wipe over a turban. Those who say no will say that it is not allowed to do so. So this hadith basically speaks about one new issue, and that is wiping over the turban. According to this hadith, and as we said, Sheikh bin Baz and others authenticated it, that it is a hadith that shows that if a person is wearing a turban, just as it is difficult for a person to remove a sock, likewise a turban. So if a person is wearing a turban, then therefore it is allowed for them to wipe over this turban. Now, the scholars of Islam said, what is the link between the two, the turban and the socks? They said that both of them are difficult to remove. For a person, for example, and obviously in those times, they didn't have bathrooms, they didn't have seats, they didn't have wudu facilities, but rather they would be traveling, they would find water maybe in a pouch, in a well, it would be difficult for them to make wudu. And so to remove socks, to sit on the ground and so on and so forth would be difficult for people. And so it came as a rukhsa. Likewise, to remove a turban. The turban that we're speaking about here is a turban of cloth that is wrapped around the head. And if you were to take it off, it would become dislodged. And you would have to wrap it around again. Because of the difficulty in removing such a turban and placing it back on, wrapping it around again, this hadith came as a concession for them as well. Today you have different types of turbans. One of the turbans that you get now, the famous one that you get in Egypt, that people in Azhar and other places wear, it's a turban, but it is a turban which is ready-made and it's stuck on the head, it's like a hat. There is no difficulty in removing such a turban. And so some of the scholars said that the ruling doesn't apply to such turbans. But if a person is wearing just a normal hat, to remove that hat isn't difficult. You can remove it very easily and put it on very easily. This issue or this type of turban is the turban that the companions and the people at that time of the Prophet ﷺ used to wear. That they would wrap it around their head. As even today, people in places like Sudan and other places, they still wear this type of turban, where they wrap it around their head and then it has a tail. And that tail comes and they place it over their shoulder. This is the type of turban that we're speaking about. So if a person is wearing such a type of turban, then it is allowed for them to wipe over the turban. They don't even have to touch the hair, they can wipe over the turban. And that is sufficient for them. Some of the scholars of Islam also, based upon this, made a further analogy. And that is for a woman who wears a scarf. And again, they apply that same ruling, that if she's, for example, in a place where maybe she's surrounded by men. For example, in Hajj, in Umrah, in places where there's a lot of men and women in the same place, she has to make wudu. It is allowed for her to keep it on. Or even if she's not in that certain place, but maybe she's in a place where it's difficult for her to remove her scarf. Or removing her scarf would be a difficult process, and to put it back on would be a lengthy process. If it's that type of scarf, then in that case it is allowed for her as well. And again, that is an issue of difference of opinion amongst the scholars of Islam. And again, it comes back to the authenticity of this hadith and so on. But inshallah, the correct opinion that it is allowed for a person to wipe over the turban and to wipe over the scarf, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 58, وَعَنْ عُمَرَ مَوْقُوفًا وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ مَرْفُوعًا إذا توضأ أحدكم ملبس خفيه فليمسح عليهما وليصلي فيهما ولا يخلعهما إن شاء إلا من جنابة أخرجه الدارقطني والحاكم وصححا. This hadith is, the author says, from Umar موقوف and from Anas مرفوع. that if a person makes wudu and they put on their socks, then they can wipe over them and pray in them, and they don't ever have to take them off unless they reach that state of major impurity. This is collected by Dharqutni al-Hakim and authenticated by them. This hadith is on Umar radiallahu anhu, the famous Khalifa, mawquf. Mawquf means it is a statement of the companion. It can't be ascribed or attributed back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's what mawquf means. It stops at the level of a companion. And Anas marfu', but Anas relates it as a marfu' hadith. Marfu' means that it can be attributed back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this hadith comes, and it's unique in one sense, in the sense that it comes in both ways, as a statement of a companion and as a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is that if a person, what this hadith is saying is that if a person makes wudu, they put on their socks, then they may pray in them and wipe over them, make wudu in them forever, for whatever the period of time. If they're in a place, if they're resident, more than a day and a night. And if they're traveling, more than 3 days and three nights, unless they reach that stage of major impurity. This hadith is a weak hadith. And it is the weakness in it is a very technical weakness. It is authentic in its chain of narration, but weak in its matan, in its text. In the science of hadith, there is such a thing known as something which is shadh. Shadh means peculiar, strange, something which is irregular. It's an abnormality. What's the abnormality? What's peculiar? What's strange? What's strange is the hadith, the chain of narration, which is what we normally look at when authenticating hadith or weakening them, is authentic. The chain of narration is authentic, established back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the hadith is irregular because it is still weak. Its weakness is not in the narrators, but within the text itself. How is it weak in that sense? Because even though it is authentically narrated in its chain of narration, the people who have narrated this hadith, one of those narrators, has narrated something which goes against the majority of what else has been narrated. So we have one hadith that openly contradicts many other narrations. And as I said, there's something like 70 odd narrations in this chapter. One hadith goes against all of these chains of narrations and all of these ahkam. All of them say the traveler has 3 days and three nights maximum, and the resident has 1 day and one night. But in this narration now we have someone who says that it's open-ended. There's no time limit. You can carry on wiping for as long as you want, unless you're in a state of major impurity. So therefore the scholars of Islam classified it as shadh, peculiar. And it's peculiar because it contradicts what more authentic narrators have narrated. Now the peculiarity is not in the companions, it's not in Umar or Anas. It's in the narrators that came after them. One of them made a mistake or they did something. And even the most trustworthy of narrators are human, and they can make mistakes. And so what they've done is they've reported something which, even though they are known to be narrators that are strong and authentic, in this instance they have narrated something which goes against the well-established norm and practice and majority. And that is that the traveler only has 3 days and three nights, the resident 1 day and one night. And so this hadith is shadh, it is peculiar due to this, and therefore the ruling within it is weak as well. Hadith number 59, عن أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رخص للمسافر ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن وللمقيم يوما وليلة إذا تطهر فلبس خفيه أن يمسح عليهما أخرجه الدارقطني وصححه ابن خزيمة. On the authority of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a concession for the traveler that he may wipe over his socks for 3 days and three nights, for the resident for 1 day and one night. If in a state of purification they wear their socks, they may wipe over them. Collected by Dharqutni and authenticated by Ibn Khuzayma. And this hadith is authentic. So again, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, after mentioning the previous hadith, which was peculiar, that goes against the norm, he's brought another hadith that establishes that same norm. And this is like repetition now. He's mentioning the same thing over and over again to show to you that the majority of narrations, the majority of scholars hold this opinion. And that one hadith that we have is peculiar, it is weak. This hadith is reported by Abi Bakrah, whose name was Nufay' ibn Masruh. And he was one of the free slaves of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who died in the year 51 or 52 Hijri. And he reports, and he explicitly says, that from the concessions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave, so it shows that wiping over the socks is a concession, as we said. 3 nights for the traveler, 1 day and 1 night for the resident. That if in a state of purification, you put on your socks, you may wipe over them, and then you may go and pray in that state as well. And so therefore, it shows again what we said about the established norm of timing, but it also shows something additional and new, and that is that it is not an obligation to wipe over the socks. So even though we said that it is better, and it is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person was to take off their socks, then it is allowed, and if their wudu is still correct. And it's not allowed for someone to go and to ridicule them, or to belittle them, or to humiliate them, or to rebuke them, but rather you advise them and you tell them what the sunnah is. But it is still allowed for them. It's not an obligation to wipe over your socks, even if you're wearing your socks in a state of wudu. It's not obligatory. It is a concession, and no concession is an obligation unless there is loss of life or limb or religion or something like that. Hadith number 60, the last hadith in this chapter, وَعَنْ أَبِي وَعَنْ عُبَيِّ بْنِ عِمَارَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمْسَحُ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ يَوْمًا قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ وَيَوْمَيْنِ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ وَثَلَاثَ قَالَ نَعَمْ وَمَا شِئْتَ أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَاوُودَ وَقَالَ لَيْسَ بِالْقَوِيِّ. This hadith on Ubay ibn Imara, who was a companion who died in Egypt, radiallahu anhu, he said that I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, may I wipe over my socks? He said, yes. I said to him, for 1 day? He said, yes. I said, for 2 days? He said, yes. I said, for 3 days? He said, yes. And for as long as you wish. And this is collected by Abu Dawood, but he said that it is a weak chain of narration. So again, this is another narration, but it is weak. It is actually weak in its chain of narration that again speaks about the time limit being extended. And again, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah brings, as we said before, weak narrations to show that these are some of the narrations that are available in the books of hadith, but they are weak. And so the rulings that come and are based upon them are also weak and incorrect. And this is from one of the unique attributes of this book, that he will bring weak hadith, not because he wants you to apply them or to implement them, but just so as a student of knowledge, you will learn about them and be aware of them. So now if someone was to come to you and they had this issue and they said, no, you can wipe over your socks open-endedly. You would say to them, not that I know of, for a person who's resident, it's 1 day and 1 night. He says, I have a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in which he said you can do so. Now if you weren't aware about this hadith and that it was weak, it's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And if you don't know whether it's weak or authentic, it's not allowed for a Muslim to say, I'm not going to accept it, it's not a hadith. You can't just say that without knowledge, without any justification or reason. And so for a student of knowledge, someone who's studying the religion of Islam, it's important to know also the weak narrations, not only the authentic ones. So that when a person comes with that narration, you can say, no, that hadith, yes, it's there in that book, but it's weak. And this is the reason why it's weak. And therefore the ruling based upon this is also weak. And therefore you have yaqeen, you have certainty in your religion that you're worshipping Allah according to authentic knowledge. And so this is from one of the, if you like, the many benefits of studying a book like Bulugh al-Maram, and one of the unique attributes of Ibn Hajar, that he will even mention weak hadith to you. And sometimes when people come to a book of hadith and they see a weak narration, they automatically have an aversion to it. Why is he mentioning weak hadith? Why are we studying weak hadith? It's weak, it shouldn't even be in the book. The fact of the matter is, it is in the books. It's mentioned in books of hadith. And so the job of a scholar, of a student of knowledge, of someone who's studying about his religion, is to know the authentic and the weak so that you stay away from the weak. And if someone comes with the weak, you won't become confused and misled. Just as Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said in the famous hadith, that the companions would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the good, I would ask about the evil so I could stay away from it. So in the religion, you don't just learn about the good and the reward of Allah, but you learn about the evil and the punishment of Allah as well. And this is the balance that we have in this religion. So again, this hadith is basically saying that there is an open-ended time limit, but because it is for that ruling is incorrect. And again, we go back to the established norm that for a resident it is 1 day and 1 night, and for a person who is traveling it is 3 days and 3 nights. These are basically mostly the issues that are mentioned within this chapter of Mas'al al-Khuffain, and I've tried to bring in other issues such as wiping over the scarf and so on, issues that are not mentioned and when the timing starts and so on, just so that inshallah we can have a comprehensive overview of the chapter. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Any questions, we'll take them, otherwise we can conclude. Yeah, so I mentioned it within the lecture as well, the hadith that is on the authority of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, as collected in Ahmad and Abu Dawood and other books of hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wipe over his normal socks. Jawrab is a sock that's not made out of leather. So either it was cotton, at that time it was probably wool or something like that. It's a non-leather sock. And he would sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wipe over his sandals as well. So if a person, the brother's asking, is it better to wipe over the socks or not? It is better if that's the state that you're in. So if you're wearing the socks and you come to do wudu and you wore those socks in a state of tahara, it is better to wipe over them. Well, so the brother's asking, like in most wudu places, you have water on the floor and then your socks become wet and that detracts from your khushu. I would still say it is better to take the concession. To follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ should have precedence over your own qualms and worries. Okay, so the brother is asking concerning the thickness of a sock, if it's a non-leather sock. The scholars of Islam, the fuqaha, do have this issue as to what type of a sock constitutes a sock. And so some of them say that it can't be something where that is see-through. Others would say that it can't be something where if you were to put water on it, that the water would immediately touch the foot. So that sock should hold a minimal amount of water on its surface. But there are many scholars of Islam, such as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others, who don't have these conditions. And they say that these conditions don't really have a basis in the Sharia. There's nothing explicit in any hadith that speak about them. But basically many scholars just made analogy of the leather sock. What's a leather sock like? It's not see-through, you know, it's thick so water won't go through it. And so they made that analogy. But he says that this analogy doesn't really have any basis in the Sharia. There's no hadith to support it. And so even if it's a thin sock, then inshallah it's okay. So long as it can technically be called a sock. But if someone wants to stay on the safe side, wear a thicker sock, then inshallah, there's no harm in that either. No. There's no time limit for when you put your socks on. So once you're in the state of wudu, so long as you don't break that wudu, you can put your socks on at any time and then you can wipe over them. Okay, so the method of wiping is that you wipe with one hand and you wipe the right before the left, just as you would wash the right before the left. Yeah, so some of the scholars mentioned that you wipe them both at once, but this seems... Because the brother's asking, if he wipes over his socks, then he takes off the sock, would that break your wudu? No. And then even if you were to put your sock on again, it still wouldn't break wudu. And this is an issue which some of the scholars again have differed over, but the opinion of scholars like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others is that it doesn't break your wudu. So from the things that break a person's wudu, it's not mentioned taking off your socks. So inshallah, it's okay. Yeah, so but obviously if you take off your sock, like the brother's asking, if you take off your sock then the next time you would make wudu if you broke your wudu without any socks on. Okay, jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.